Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and we are on number 242 of the Slow Living Podcast. And today, we're going to talk about retirement and slow retirement. Because when you've done enough, you've done enough. And I'm so happy that you're here with me today. This episode will be a little different, a little quieter, a lot more reflective, and honestly, it's a goodbye because this is going to be the final episode that I record for the Slow Living Podcast. We are now in June of 2026. I began this podcast in 2021. It's been 5 years of me thinking and teaching about all things slow living. And now I'm ready to live what I teach. I don't want to get up early anymore to write or think about new ways to reach people. I feel proud and I feel content with what I've created, and I'm ready to step away. It's interesting, when I first started the podcast, my friend Jennifer, who you've heard me talk about, she and I have a routine where we talk on the phone every day between about 7:15 and 7:40 while I'm walking Sheldon and she's driving to work. And she asked me how many episodes I thought I would record, and I thought I would record 365. So there's one for every day of the year. So if someone was going to find the podcast and start listening, they could listen for half hour every day and get a gentle hug and a nurturing voice in their ears. So that was my idea. And this is the 242nd episode. But now is when the time feels right. And now is the time for me to step aside and let others fill the void. And that's what today's episode is all about. Growing up, my dad used to sing the song, "Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when it's time to walk away." It was some country western song. And if I was a better podcaster, I probably would have Googled who wrote that and give you that information. But I'm all locked in right now and I've got my headphones on and I am not going to pause this to Google it. So just believe me, my dad used to sing that. It's some song. But now, for me, for Steph, for this phase of my life, it's time to walk away. And there's something so incredibly aligned with this decision, with the idea of retiring and stepping away. And wherever you are in your life, you may not be ready to be put out to pasture and never work another day of your life. But there might be something that you have done all you can do with, and it feels ready for you to say goodbye, and you absolutely can retire from whatever it is you're ready to say goodbye to. So mostly people talk about the financial planning or the timing of retirement and not the feeling of it. But we're going to talk about the feeling of it. When you get to a place in your life and you think, I've done what I came here to do. Because that is an amazing feeling. I'm in a lot of circles with a lot of people of all ages and stages of life. At work, in my personal life, with friends and family, and yoga class. And the subject of retirement comes up pretty often. And I love talking about retirement. But what was unique about this particular group of people, and they were all women, and I happened to be the youngest. I turned 50 in November of this year. is that everyone was talking about retiring with this kind of smile and contented, like feeling in their brains and their body. Everyone was calm and at peace. We were talking about retirement. We were ready. All of the people I was with, their kids were grown and were doing well, and they had done more than they set out to do professionally. It's really interesting when you're in your 20s and your 30s, when you think what you want to have accomplished by your 50s and 60s. Usually you sell yourself short. Usually you look back on your life, you're like, oh my God, I can't even believe I did that. Do you remember when I did that? What was I thinking? I was so young and naive and stupid, but I took that chance. And that feels so joyful and so sparkling because then you know you didn't miss out. You did the thing you set out to do. And now that it's over, you're grateful you got to have that experience. You're not empty. You're not bored, but you feel complete. And then someone asked the group, what about fulfillment? Do you think you've fulfilled your purpose? And what struck me wasn't the question, but it was how many people just kind of nodded and are like, yeah, I did what I was supposed to do. So there's a Buddhist saying, which is today is a good day to die. And oh God, it seems so dark. And when I first heard it, I was in my very early 30s with young children in the house, and I couldn't imagine getting to that feeling in less than 20 years than when I first heard that quote, today is a good day to die. But here I am. I love my life and I plan on living a very, very long time. I hope to be active and agile and with it in my 70s and 80s and continue to travel and do yoga and garden and spend lots and lots of times with future grandchildren. But it also would be okay if I drop dead right now, I would still feel content. So, one thing about approaching the feeling of closure and retirement is that success pops up a lot. And we've talked about success in the Slow Living podcast. Go back, listen. Listen to the episodes with fresh ears, even these past few episodes when I was talking about Gen Z and Millennial and Gen X. Success gets brought up a lot. But often it's the ego version of success. And in the Slow Living book, I talk about ego as an acronym of edging God out. And regardless of your religious philosophies and whether or not you believe or don't believe or believe in this God or that God or whatever, it's not a religious thing, it's a spiritual thing. When you're putting your ego first, you're edging God out. And success is not about finding your purpose. Success in the way that people chase it, it's you're trying to have other people look up to you. And that's ego. That's not finding your purpose. When most people talk about success, they're not talking about finding their purpose. They're talking about a monetary number or accolades at work or envy from others. And that's ego. But purpose isn't about accomplishments. Purpose is about taking care of yourself, loving the people in your lives, being kind, making someone laugh. Since I'm around kids all day, and I know there's a lot of teachers who listen to the podcast, as we all know, no one goes into teaching for the money. They go into teaching for the connections and the joy of watching someone's face. Maybe it's a child, maybe it's an adult, but someone's face when they get it for the first time and just kind of goes across their face. That feeling is a feeling of purpose. There's that Maya Angelou quote that people share an awful lot, and I'm probably going to butcher it because, again, I didn't do any research to look it up. I'm just talking to you. But the Maya Angelou quote of, I don't need to be remembered. I just want people to remember how I made them feel. That is a different kind of success. And if you're listening to me right now and you're listening to this podcast, these words probably resonate with you. The slow living has never been about doing more, and it's never been about trying to get others to be envious of you in some way, or other people to look at your life in a wistful way. Instead, it's about being more intentional with what you do. So one of the women that I was chatting with, we had some journaling, and we were doing some journaling exercises, and it's shifting from an achievement-based purpose, which might be in your younger years, this achievement-based purpose. I went to school, I went to grad school, I got these grades, I got this job, I landed this, I made this money, blah, 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 to instead a more presence-based purpose. Because most of our lives we're taught to measure ourselves by what we build, what we earn, what our house looks like, and what we produce. But then one day that chapter ends, and the question becomes, who or what am I showing up for today? Let's think about this again. If you're not driving, jot this down. Who or what am I showing up for today? My hope is you're showing up for yourself. My hope is you're showing up for people who love you unconditionally and vice versa. I don't want you to worry about next year or 5 years from now. I want you to think about today. And that's a very slow living question. And if you're retiring from something, the idea that you're retiring to something, you are retiring to show up for yourself today. One really nice thing about retiring and walking away for something is this like feeling of relief that you've done all it is you set out to do, and you have nothing left to prove. And instead of feeling scary, God Almighty, it just feels free. It's just a wonderful, amazing, relaxing, present feeling. It's freeing to have nothing left to prove to anybody else. You did it. You did the thing. What a great feeling to have. It's so just calm and relaxing when you wake up and you realize you don't have to strive. You don't have to sprint. There's no more chasing. You're not trying to prove your worth to anyone, and you're not trying to earn it. Instead, you just get to live. One person said, every day now feels like a bonus. And think about that. Think how magical that is. That's back to that, the it'd be okay to die today. Today is a good day to die. And every other day that you have, it's a bonus. It's candy, not in a dramatic way, but in a very grounded, peaceful way. I did the big things. I did it. And now, this is fun. This is extra. So, deciding that purpose is optional or purpose is overrated might feel far-fetched. It might feel radical, and it might actually feel a little jarring, and you might be a little annoyed by me right now. And that's okay. Because we've been taught we're supposed to have a purpose, a big one, a meaningful one. I'm going to change the world. And sometimes that doesn't happen, and sometimes it does. But we were taught to believe we can point to something and say, this is it. This is why I'm here. But what if that's not actually how you win the game? What if you don't need that? What if it's enough to simply drink your morning coffee slowly and go outside, look at your garden. What happened overnight? Are there snail trails? Are there dew on your roses? Maybe it's enough to just go for a walk and smile at your neighbor across the street. Maybe it's helping someone return their grocery cart because you can see their hands are full. Maybe it's enough to simply sit and listen to another person talk and share their story. Maybe it's enough to walk through a room and find one thing and decide right here, right now, I'm going to fix that baseboard. What if just being is enough? I've said it before and I've said it again. Life isn't a checklist, it's a journey. And purpose isn't something that you complete. Instead, it's something you live through kindness and resilience and curiosity and maybe service to others. And that doesn't end when you retire, regardless of what it is you've retired from. Instead, it just shape shifts and changes form. Now, not always, not everyone feels this way. Some people say they're not done yet. They've got more to do. There's more to prove, more to explore, more to become. And that's valid too. Some people, when they step away and decide on purpose to retire, some people find new passions. Some people reinvent themselves. Some people decide to take the class they've always wanted to take, learn a new language, start building birdhouses, volunteer. Create, become artistic. There's not one right way or wrong way to retire. There's as many retirements as there are people. So where am I right now? When I started the Slow Living podcast, I had something I wanted to prove, not in a loud way, but in a steady, quiet way. I wanted to prove out loud that that kind of voice of God that I had when I really disliked goofing around with the pressure cooker and the instant pot. And I heard that just because you can get something done faster, it doesn't mean it's better. And that was the idea of slow living. I wanted to prove that there was a market for it in a slow, steady, and quiet way. I believe that slow living mattered and that there was a different way to move through the world. And I wanted to see if there was space for that message. And there was more than expected. And I was able to write the book I always wanted to write. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is essentially the book that I wished I had when I was young, when I was in my early 20s and early 30s. I wanted someone to tell me that I was okay and that I didn't need to achieve ginormous things in order for my life to matter and in order for my kids to have a fulfilling life. I knew I didn't want to be a workaholic. I knew I wanted to be a present mom. I wanted to write a book giving people permission to not hustle. And so I did that. The thing I set out to do, I did. And so for me, it doesn't feel like me stopping this podcast is leaving something unfinished. Instead, it feels like I'm setting something down gently and with purpose. In the beginning of the podcast, I was so excited to bounce out of bed at 4 a.m. and look at stats and answer emails and connect with new coaching clients. I'd get a thrill, like a little bit of a high when a reporter reached out or another podcast invited me on. But now after 5 years, it feels heavy again. It feels like work and not fun. So honestly, I've been quiet quitting for some time now. There's an episode of Quiet Quitting quite a few back. It's a good episode, something to think about. How have I quiet quitted? So we're June now. I knew going into 2026, I was going to end the podcast and really kind of truncate big aspects of my business. I've done quiet quitting in a way in that I've taken a bit longer to answer emails. In the last month or so, I've stopped sending out daily emails to my list, and I've stopped paying for some of the software that I've been paying for on repeat. I'm working with a law team to dismantle my LLC. I'm helping wrap things up and tie up loose ends. All of my coaching clients know that I'm stepping aside and I haven't been taking new ones on. I'm doing the last few live sessions for the Simple Shortcuts to Peace course because after 2026, everything is just going to be accessed through the archives. So, what does retirement look like? The slow living way. I don't think it's about replacing one thing with another. It's not trading one kind of busy with another kind of busy. You don't need to prove anything to anyone, and it's not about filling every hour. If someone says, "What are you doing right now?" and you say, "I'm retired," their answer should be, "Good for you. Good job. Congratulations." Not, "Well, what is it you're doing?" Because again, you have nothing to prove. Your retirement will look different than anyone else's. It's not about proving to anyone that you're still productive. It might look maybe like doing a little less, resting a bit more, following your curiosity, and being available for the people you love and letting your days just unfold versus planning out hour by hour. I want you to trust your instinct that when you're done, you are allowed to be done. Most financial advisors and retirement advisors talk about retiring to something instead of nothing. Ironically, I've got more hobbies than I have time for, even though I teach the living. So for me, without the podcast, I will still get up early. I still go to my day job because we've got college to pay for and three kids in the house, and healthcare is no joke. But I'm no longer going to be trying to make it online or chase an algorithm. And to me, that feels so freeing. So my retiring to something for me personally is more yoga, more rest, more gardening, more jigsaw puzzles, more time with family members that matter. And I'm also going to enjoy my day job while I have it. I've got time. And honestly, the work I do as Mrs. O'Day, the school site secretary, is quite easy. Sometimes I pinch myself that they keep paying me because they certainly don't pay me to be creative or innovative. I am part of a bureaucracy. I'm supposed to keep my head down, don't ask questions, and do the work. And because of that, there's no work I need to do at home. It's really, I don't want to kind of dox myself, but this, I love that I keep getting paid even when I'm not working all that hard. And that's so different from all of these years of running my own online business. If I wasn't working, the money wouldn't come in. But I'm part of a bureaucracy now, and regardless if I work really, really hard or phone it in, I keep getting paid, and it's just astonishing to me. And because I'm in a school system, I will be getting a pension along with Social Security. So think about that. One big thing about retiring is knowing your numbers. There's quite a few episodes of this podcast on financial security. So please go back and listen and then go through the Slow Living book and know your numbers. I certainly know mine. My coaching clients know theirs. It's I did an episode a few episodes about on AI, and this is not an ad. But there is an AI software that's currently free called Bolden, Boldin. Put your numbers in. Don't pay for an account. At the bottom, you will get this big flashing thing telling you to give them money and sign up for an account. Don't. Instead, scroll down to the bottom and click on keeping with the free version. And then from there, you can ensure you're on the right path. And if you aren't, okay, let's figure out a way to course correct. You aren't behind because you aren't dead yet. So, if you're thinking of approaching retirement, if you're of age or you're of mindset, maybe the question isn't, what will I do next? Maybe instead the question is, have I already done enough? And if the answer is yes, sit with it. You don't need to rush to fill the space. Relish, enjoy, let it be quiet. Thank you. Thank you so much, truly. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for writing for me and letting me know you're here. Thank you for deciding on purpose to live your life in a slower and more intentional way. This is not the norm. You're swimming upstream here. It will feel wrong. Slow living is counterculture. I know that. This podcast has meant so much to me, and I hope in some small way It's given you a tiny bit of permission to live life in a way that feels calm and meaningful and true to you. As you go through your days, simply look only within. If you're new to the podcast, if for some reason you're stumbling upon this, there's 241 other episodes. Go back, listen. You can choose any order you see fit. There are no rules. This is your life, and you get to live it on your terms. My only hope is that you do it thoughtfully, calmly, with intention, and slowly. Take care, pretty people. Consider yourself loved and hugged.
If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.